Amen. Hey, once again, we are in our exciting study, World Religions, Cults, and the Occult, and we are in our final section of this aspect, Voodoo, Vampires, and the Rise of Demon Worship. And we've already seen the existence of demons, the character of demons, the tactics. We dealt with quite a bit of time on the history, going like, how in the world did we get in this mess? We're not just in the world, but even in the church, people are actually seeking input, advice, information, knowledge, supposedly, from demons. It's crazy. Well, that's why we took a look at, that was bad enough. It's really happening, but it's Satan repackaged. That's all he does, is repackage evil for a new generation. Another route to get people snookered into it. And we saw the first repackaging of spiritualism is voodoo, okay? And we dealt with that in a great detail. We saw the second one that we've been dealing with the last two times is shamanism, okay, which is basically an indigenous version of voodoo practices, occult practices. And not just voodoo, but shamanism is sucking people up away from the scripture, away from God, away from Jesus, not just in the world, but even in the church. And all Satan does is repackage that, as we've been seeing. So we took a look at this. The definition of shamanism is what? It's a, quote, occult method where a shaman attempts to solve problems through what? Manipulation and contact with the spirit world, which is the code word for demons, right? Just like voodoo, their whole goal is, I got to get in contact with demons. They don't call it that because that's too obvious and that'd freak people out and they wouldn't fall for it. So they call it the spirit world, the great white buffalo, the spirit of this, the spirit of that, blah, blah, blah. But it's demonic is what they're tapping into, just like with voodoo, okay? The shaman's known also by a variety of names. Yes, shaman, but he's also known as the holy man, the priest, or the medicine man, or the witch doctor. We saw that last time in great detail. Shamanism believes, just like voodoo, that all is alive. A rock, a tree, to a flea, to a bee, to you and me. Everything supposedly is alive. And each one's got a spirit that you tap into for certain power and favor and all that kind of stuff. And you got to work with that and et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Now, to get into contact with these demons, that they don't call demons, but they are, okay, these spirits, okay, you have to get into an altered state of consciousness. And that led us to the practitioners of shamanism. I wonder what that guy's smoking. Well, he's doing drugs because that's what they do. They use drugs, okay, to get into an altered state of consciousness to connect with these spirits out there to give them these superpowers, even healing powers, supposedly, all that stuff. Now, one of the drugs that they use that Satan's repackaged as getting people to be demon-possessed, involved with demons, as we saw last time, was marijuana. Marijuana is one of the top drugs that shamans use to get into an altered state of consciousness to connect with demons. We saw that male and female shamans, they admit it, it's not a joke. And then everybody's being told today it's perfectly fine and whatever. No, it's not. It's opening up spiritual doors that you do not want to mess with. And once again, one last time, if you still resist that, guess what? Stop listening to this guy. My hobbies include smoking marijuana and hunting with my dog. And for those of you who still haven't figured out after three times now, that is not a dog and you don't need to hunt zucchinis. But that's the tip of the iceberg of what smoking marijuana will do to you. It not only messes with your mind, it opens up your mind to demonic aspects. So then last time we saw the practices of shamanism. What else do these shamans do to entice people to get connected with demons and interact with them? Okay, well, we saw if he can't get you with the drugs, he's going to get you with this, shamanic energy healing, right? Because after all, he's called the what? Witch doctor, the medicine man. Right? That's a big part of shamanism, as we saw as well. And so if he can't get you with flat out getting involved in shamanic, demonic healing, okay, as we saw, then what's Satan do? Just like with the drug thing. He repackages it, right? But it's the same shamanic practices where people are getting snookered with occult so-called healing from demons. Now, in the first repackaging we saw was, no. A shamanic healing, no, that's too obvious. That's too occultist. He's what? It's New Age healing, right? Also known as holistic healing, Rolfing, Reiki, therapeutic touch, energy anatomy, bodywork, crystal therapy, and on it goes. But wait a second. Maybe that's just still too, you know, shamanic healing, New Age healing. That's too obvious. It's too much of the cold. Well, no. He repackaged it. It's alternative medicine. That's all it is, right? Remember that? It's called complementary medicine, huh? Complementary alternative medicine and integrative medicine, holistic medicine. And it's big bucks today. The sad thing is people are getting turned off to traditional medicine, and dare I say, for good reasons, after the last 3 years of the COVID pandemic lies. But Satan's right there, man, snookering them, get him to back up into the so-called alternative medicine. All it is occult practices from shamanism repackaged. But hey, he's even got one for the church, right? But you don't say, no, that's shamanic healing. That's, you know, New Age healing. That's alternative healing. No. All you got to do is just call it the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. That's right, because that's what they supposedly have, this supernatural power. And not only power, but specifically, just like shamanism, they have their own healing rooms. And of course, you got to slap Christianese on it. You can't say it's a shamanic journey that you're on, a shamanic room to get a shamanic healing. That's too obvious. So you got to say it's a healing room. In fact, they emphasize the laying on of hands. And that's a big secret. I was there, I was praying, and I was jumping up and down. I was singing this song endlessly, whatever, and just over there. And next thing you know, the Spirit of God came upon me, and my hands got hot. My hands are so hot. I knew it was the power of God. No, that's shamanism. Hello. Okay. And by the way, we kicked that can. Just because you got hot hands, okay, that is in the occult, that is a sign that the demons are working through you. That's not from the Spirit of God. Right? We saw that in Chinese medicine, Hinduism, Buddhism, Reiki, and I quote, Native American traditions. Hot hands are associated with shamanic power and quote, healing energy. So just because your hands got hot doesn't mean that's from the Spirit of God. But that's what they do. They slap Christianese on it, right? And then they say, you know, they make it sound really Christian. Their whole practice, oh, it's not shamanism. It's the physics of heaven. Remember that? It's like, excuse me, right? Well, it said heaven. It's got to be Christian. No, right? And basically this is, and so we shared quotes from this book if you were here last time. It is just a full-on merger of not just shamanic practices, demonic practices, couched in Christianese, but it's full on merging with New Age, and they even admit it, saying that the New Age has got the stuff that really belongs to the church, and we need to start doing that. It's not just unbiblical. We saw the thrust of the study last week was it's called simony, using, quote, religion as means of profit, and that's what Bethel is doing with these so-called supernatural healing ministry and all that kind of stuff. And basically, as we saw, I didn't say it, God did. He basically would say to Bethel today, to hell with you and your money. No, I didn't say that. God did. Let's take a look at that text again. Make your money perish with you. That's a kind, we broke out the Greek. What that literally says is to hell with you and your money. Very strong words from those who would think that you can make money off of buying supposed supernatural power from God. And then that's the whole thrust of Bethel. Hello. Right? Because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. Your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. Okay? But I'm still here, still preaching. So guess what?
There's more.
There's got to be more. That's right, Dr. Mick. That's a good way to make up for that last flip, blah, 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 whatever you were talking about there later. But hey, we are going to look at another practice from shamanism that's destroying people's lives, getting them schnookered into shamanic practices, demonic entities, because all it's been has just been repackaged, okay? But before we get into that, let's once again remind ourselves again of what God says, not only about how he feels about occult practices, but again about those who would listen to them professing to be his children instead of him, instead of God. They listen to the occult. It's crazy. God does not mince words. Once again, open your Bibles to Jeremiah 27. Jeremiah 27 is our opening text. And Jeremiah, of course, was written by Jeremiah, you biblical scholars, you, that's right. Amazing, 1263 in my Bible. So you could turn to 1263 in your Bible. I'm not guaranteeing it's Jeremiah 27, especially if you got large print. You're probably in Exodus. But anyway, let's move on. I've stolen enough time because that's the technique. You can't have dead air. I've learned that. I don't know about you, but that's enough time. All right, Jeremiah 27, 1 through 10. Let's take a look. What's the word of God say? Early in the what? The reign of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah. This word came to who? Jeremiah. From who? The Lord. This is God speaking. This is what the Lord said to me. Make a yoke out of straps and crosshairs and put it in your, on your neck there. And then send word to the kings of Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, and Sidon. And through the envoys who would have come to Jerusalem and Zedekiah, king of Judah, give them a message for their masters and say, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Tell this to your masters. With my great power, God says, and outstretched arm, I made the earth and its peoples and the animals that are on it, and I give it to anyone I please. How many guys would say God's in charge?
Yes.
Right? That's what he's saying. Now, I will hand all your countries over to my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I will make even the wild animals subject to him. All nations will serve him and his son and his grandson until the time for his land comes. Then many nations and great kings will subjugate him. And again, just real quick, what you see is God does not play favorites. He's not doing anything wrong. God will use anybody for his divine purposes. He's not the author of evil ever, period. And he's not just like, well, why did he do that to this one nation? No. Listen, if any nation, anybody gets out of line, right, you're next, right? And so this time, God's using Nebuchadnezzar basically as a disciplinary rod for the nations around, but also for Israel, who got out of line, right? But guess what? And he even foretold it before it happened. He said, but guess what? Nebuchadnezzar, his time's coming too. Why? Because they're out of line, right? And things of that nature. But here's what he says. So that's what God said, okay? And that's what you're supposed to tell these people. Now, if, however, any nation or kingdom will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, or bow its neck under his yoke, I will what? Punish that nation with sword, famine, and plague, declares the Lord, until I destroy it by his hand. Now, listen, it went to Israel as well, okay? So how many guys would say this was a popular message? Hey, guess what? You guys are going to get subjugated by the king of Nebuchadnezzar, and you're going to have to sit under his yoke, right? And so that was good news?
No.
No, it was bad news, but it was the truth, right? So guess what? It wasn't a comfortable message. It wasn't a popular message. And God says, oh, by the way, I know you're not going to like it, but here's something you better not do. So do not listen to what? Your prophets, your diviners, your interpreters of dreams, your mediums, or your sorcerers who what? Tell you what? You will not serve the king of Babylon. They listened to the people involved in the occult over the word of God because they didn't like what God was saying. Sound familiar? Yeah, that's going on today big time. Here's what God says. Why don't you listen to them? Because they're not just involved in the occult. Because they're involved in the occult, what do? They prophesy lies to you that will only serve to remove you from your lands. And I, God says, will banish you and you will perish. Once again, we see God does not mince words, okay? Strong words, a warning to never, ever listen to who? People who are involved in the occult, okay? Period. All they do is lie. They lead you astray. They say the exact opposite of what God says. Why? Because that's what demons do. People involved in occult practices who supposedly, God told me to tell you I had this dream and this prophecy and this and whatever. Blah, blah, blah. And have you ever noticed it's always something fantastic? It's never where, hey, the judgment of God's coming. No, it's this year is going to be your year. The reign of the Spirit's this, and it's going to be awesome. And we're going to see a revival. And this, you liars, right? And so God says, don't listen to these guys, right? But unfortunately, they're doing it today. And believe it or not, I'm talking churches. Oh, yeah. They would rather listen to somebody lying straight to their face than to hear the word of God, the truth of what's going on. In fact, that's actually a sign that we're in the last days. I didn't say it. God did. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for a time will come in the context of the church when people what? They won't put up a sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the truth. What? The church? I can see the world. They don't know Christ. But what? The church? Yeah. Instead, though, to suit their what? Their own desires. See, they don't care about God. It's all about me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity. It's about what I want. You better preach what I want. You better sing what I want. You better have the programs that I want. It's all about me. You better have it me. I want this. I want the heat turned up. No, I want it turned down. I want this seat like this. So to suit their own desires, they're going to what? Gather around themselves a great number of teachers to what? To say what their itching ears want to hear. Itching ears is kenetho in the Greek. It means to desire only that which is pleasant. They only want guys who will tell them what is pleasant. I don't want to hear about this COVID pandemic stuff. I don't want to hear about prophecy. I don't want to hear about the 7-year tribulation. I don't want to hear about the coming wrath of God. You better tell me that story again about your cat, Milo, in the third grade, and he was fluffy. And how he ministered to you in the times of trouble. He learned to be a better you. How to be financially successful. And apparently that's how you talk as a false teacher, apparently. I don't know. But anyway, that's right. Each ears want to hear. And not only that, watch this. Then, on top of that, they will turn their ears away from the truth. What? And turn aside to myths. Muthos, it literally means stories made up. So literally, you know you're in the last days when all you get from the church is a bunch of stories made up and only pleasant things from the pulpit. Because they don't want to hear, including a not popular message, even though it's the truth, even though it's from God. And he tells us for our benefit what's to come and how to prepare, right? That is the church today, okay? Let's bust into a little bit more. Listen, God says, do not listen, right? Is the Hebrew word shema, and it means not only to listen, but to hear and to obey. So then she's like, listen. Oh, no, I listen to them. I'm going to hell. No, it's listen. And then it's like, oh, yeah, let's do what they say. Right? Prophets is nabi, and it means the spokesman, a speaker, prophet. But in this context, somebody who's a false prophet. Okay? And we're going to get into this one. Diviners, okay, is kasam, and that's one who practices divination, quote, that which is forbidden. Why? Because when they get into divination, what they're doing is they're conjuring up demon contact. And then what do you get from that? Well, that's where he says you're going to get lies. It's the Hebrew word sheker, and it means to deceive, to lie, to defraud with falsehood. So why does God say don't listen to these guys? You may not like what I'm going to hear, but I tell you the truth because I love you. I don't want you deceived. You need to know this for your own good. It may not be popular. It might upset your apple cart. Oh, no, you might have to change your ways, your plans, etc., whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's for your good. Don't listen to these people. Why? Because they are going to turn you aside from the truth. They're going to lie to you. They're going to defraud you. They're going to lead you astray. And he says there, you will perish. That is actually the Hebrew word abad. And it means, listen, to perish, to vanish, to be lost, to die, to be exterminated. How many guys would say that's probably a code word from God? It ain't going to go well. If you would have the audacity to say, you belong to God. And he tells you. And you should hunger for all his word. Not just the stuff that makes you feel great. All of it, because all of it's for our good, including when he spanks you for your own good because you got out of line. He does it because he loves. God, Hebrews 12, he disciplines those whom he loves. So I don't care whether I like it, lump it, leave it or not. If it's from God, it's all good, right? So for those who would say, oh, I'm a child of God, whatever, but you literally say, no, I don't want to hear that. Now think about that. Just on the aspect of prophecy, what are people saying? I don't want to hear one third of this book. How could you come to that conclusion as a Christian? It's crazy. And then it's really worse than that because, again, it's not even, you never hear about hell. You never hear about sin. You never hear about backsliding. You certainly don't have studies like the occult that we're dealing with all over the Bible, by the way. Old Testament, New Testament, Satan, demons, warfare, all kinds of occult practices that God puts in there for our good so we're not led astray and all kinds of things and all this stuff. In fact, I joke all the time, but it's getting pretty true. It used to be just not prophecy. Now you don't get anything except the only thing you get from the Bible. Here it is. I'll show you the page. It's about one page now. It's called the Table of Weights and Measures. That's it. And a bunch of stories made up. And let me tell you about my cat and the fur gray. Learn to be a better you. That's it. So really, it's a rejection of God's word. In favor of what? Just tell me what I want to hear, baby. I'll hire you. See, it wasn't just the guys sold out. It says the church gathers around themselves. That's the only guys they want. They create their own institution. God said, they ain't going to go well. You're going to abad, perish. It's not going to go well. And again, this is what's going on today. And the whole study is about this, folks. It's just crazy. It's just repackaged shamanism in the church. And it's all what God says. They not only prophesy lies, but they tell you what you want to hear. You would rather listen to these occult prophets who use divination than listen to the word of God, and it's in the church today. So again, if Satan can't get you with the practices of shamanism by repackaging, first of all, with the drug aspect, with marijuana, if he can't get you with a repackaging of shamanic healing and all the stuff we saw last time, he is going to get you with the next one, and that is shamanic prophecies. Because apparently God's word is not good enough. We need to go outside the Bible with these people, had some secret knowledge that only they knew that you and I don't know, and we've got to listen to them in order to be prepared, etc., blah, blah, blah. But that's the mindset, okay? And the first thing that we're going to see there is the shamanic prophecies of the Hopi Indians. Still popular today, I kid you not, even so-called Christians. Did you hear the Hopi prophecy? It was, this man, we got him dressed. I don't care. Hopi, Shmopi, Popi, Bobby, Booby, I don't care who it is. Why are you getting outside the Bible? It's nuts. Now, you're saying that nobody would do that. Hopi prophecy. Well, where do they get this stuff? Well, again, what's the word shaman mean? Remember what shaman means? The one who knows. He's not just the medicine man, the witch doctor, but the word shaman itself means what? The one who knows. So if you want to know the future, if you want to know some wisdom, who do you go to? The shaman. That's what the word means, okay? And that's the first thing that God said, don't listen to these guys who say they know the future, okay? And I'm telling you, one of the most popular ones out there, that people still listen to is the Hopi prophecies. You know, they came from their shamans, and they predicted the end of the world. So, but let's take a look at what they say. You and I need to know.
Apocalypse, the end of days. According to the Native American Hopi people, The world is out of balance and headed for extinction.
I hope you believe that this world will end with fire, some kind of great massive destruction.
These ancient doomsday prophecies foretell a blue star's arrival, leading to a great shaking of the earth and a final cataclysmic purification of our world.
There's going to be water where there's land and land where there's water.
Will the source of destruction be the earth itself?
The magnetic pole is shifting.
Or will it come from the heavens?
It might be a comet that causes great destruction.
These things can come in very fast. They can come in from any direction.
Now, prophecy and modern science collide.
There may be hundreds of thousands of asteroids that will eventually cross the Earth's orbit.
For most of us, it may be too late.
We don't have a lot of time, is what I'm saying.
This is Countdown to Apocalypse.
Well, there you have it. We have got to listen to this shamanic practice, these Hopi prophecies, even over the Word of God, because it's clear, man. They got these things spot on, man. They're going to tell us exactly how to prepare, how to be ready. Are you kidding me? Has anybody ever stopped to think of, first of all, well, they said that there's going to be earthquakes and there's going to be an asteroid. Yeah, it's in the Bible. Satan just repackages, gives you a little bit of truth. It's kind of like rat poison. Did you know that rat poison is about 98% good food? Only about 2% or less is the strychnine. And you think about it, you're thinking, oh, it's all poison. No, because if it was all poison, the rat wouldn't eat it. So it's mostly good, but it's just that little bit that's enough to kill you. Right? So Satan, well, he'll even take little things from the Bible that you can get if you just read the Bible. And then that's how he said, well, see, it says the earthquakes and the reason why we know this is not from God is because of the second thing that God said. He said, don't listen to these prophets, but he says, don't listen to the what? What was the second one? It wasn't just the prophets. Okay, that was the first thing. Okay, but why shouldn't you listen to the prophets? Because how do they get their information that they're trying to share with you? From divination, right? It's the second thing that God said not to listen to. Okay, which now is what we're going to share. How do these guys get these so-called insights into the future, including the Hopi Indians who use shamanic practices? Well, shocker, they use drugs. Big-time drugs. Let me give you a couple other practices, how they got into an altered state of consciousness to get this information. It could have been crystal gazing. Could have been the casting of the runes. They, believe it or not, used tarot cards, smoke divinations. Those are smoke and, you know, you could see signs in there. And, quote, trance states. This involves inducing an altered state of consciousness through various means of drumming, chanting, or dancing. What's that? Just like in voodoo. They do the same thing too, but also drugs. The shaman may receive messages or visions during this trance-like state, okay? And they use psychotropic drugs, okay? During the trance-like state, the shaman is believed to be able to communicate with spirits, demons, to access a higher level of consciousness, and this allows them to receive messages and guidance that they would not have been able to access in a normal state of consciousness, okay? But here is how they get their prophecies, including the Hopis, which is shamanic practices. But this is what they would say. Here's how they do it. But then again, remember, they say we need to listen to these guys doing this over this book that was inspired by God, right? So let's take a look at how these guys get their prophecies, including the Hopis. Let's take a look.
I'm here in the Sierra Madre of northwest Mexico in order to visit the Huichol people, whose shaman eat an hallucinogenic cactus in order to see this normally invisible dimension. And what makes these people particularly special is that once a year, the shaman leads ordinary people on this journey. I'm hoping that this year I'm going to be able to join them as they come face to face with their gods.
Every year, groups of Huichol pilgrims leave their homes in the Sierra for the arid desert of Wirakuta, a round trip of up to 1,000 miles. This forbidding wasteland is an Eden to the Huichols, a land of gods where their ancestors, the ancient ones, once lived. As long as the Huichols continue to honor the gods and make the pilgrimage, the sun will rise and the rain will fall. If they fail, their world and ours will cease to exist. The key to this relationship is an hallucinogenic cactus called peyote. Only when it's been found and eaten in the desert will the pilgrims be able to communicate with the gods.
Ya se calma esta guerra, ya va a haber paz este año que viene, no va a pasar de agosto, ya se va a aplacar toda esa furia o esa ira que había mal entendimiento entre Rusia y Ucrania y va a haber buena paz.
Notice it was something wonderful between Russia and Ukraine. How's that working out for you, pal? In fact, the Bible tells us where it's going to head. Ultimately, they're going to go beyond Ukraine. And they're going to head down to Israel, Gog and Magog War, Ezekiel 38. And it ain't going to be peaceful. Okay? But again, where do they get these supposed prophecies from? The Hopi prophecies, as you can see, they're still doing it today. That was a 2023 Shaman Prophecy Conference, basically. They get it with drugs. And I quote mescaline or peyote, also known by the street names Big Chief, Peyote Buttons. They call them buttons because they're kind of circular, look like a big button. Cactus, mescaline, mescalito, and peyote. Well, what is it? Well, it's a, quote, psychedelic hallucinogen obtained from the small spineless cactus peyote, the San Pedro cactus, and the Peruvian torch cactus, and any other mescaline-containing cacti. It's also found in, believe it or not, members of the bean family. All right, let's move on. People have used hallucinogens for hundreds of years, mostly for religious rituals and ceremonies. Mescaline leads to, quote, intense visual hallucinations. And from the earliest recorded time, peyote has been used by natives in northern Mexico, southwest United States, like the Hopis, where it grows as a traditional part of their tradition, religious rites. And it has an effect similar to, quote, LSD or psilocybin, magic mushrooms, and other drugs. Now, what are the effects? Quote, this is their words, not mine. You're going on a trip. Yeah, you're going on a trip. Quote, an intense psychological experience, and they say sometimes can also even be, quote, a bad trip. Yeah, it's a bad trip because you're going to connect with the spirit world. Now, some of the effects using mescaline, like these guys, may include visual hallucination, radically altered states of consciousness, open and closed eye visualizations, euphoria, dreamlike state, altered body image, slowing passage of time, laughter. We don't see people just doing laughter, and it's supposed to be from God. Anyway, a mixing of the senses, seeing sound, hearing colors, pupil dilation. But here's a few of the side effects. Anxiety, fear, racing heartbeat, increased blood pressure, dizziness, weakness, diarrhea, elevated body temperature, excess sweating, tremors, intense nausea, vomiting, headache, accidental injury, psychosis, panic, paranoia, seizures, amnesia, post-hallucinogen perceptual disorder or flashbacks, suicidal thoughts, and actions. Yep. And I need to listen to those guys. Over the word of God. Who are sucking down psychedelic drugs. Because, I mean, because after all, he said, you know, Russia, Ukraine, it's going to turn out peaceful. And you know why people will go to that and say the word of God? Sounds nice, doesn't it? Sounds great. But this is what God says, don't you ever do. Because it's straight out of the demonic. In fact, that's what he says, Jeremiah 27, 9 through 10. So do not listen to those prophets, including the Hopi prophets. Why? Because they're what? Where do they get it from? Divination. Or your interpreters of dreams, your mediums, your sorcerers. They prophesy what? Lies. Why do they prophesy lies? Because that's the tactic of demons. Sometimes God tells you a message that you don't want to hear, but it's still for your good. So here comes the demons playing on your emotions saying, oh, no. I know that's what God said, but here's really what's going on. But we also know that we don't listen to them because where are they getting it from? It ain't from the Bible. It's from what? Demons. And we know it's from demons because they use drugs to get into an altered state of consciousness. And that's what demons do. They lie. Okay? But see, that's pretty obvious, right? You know, like, I'm not going to listen to the Hopi prophecies. There's no way. That's just too obvious. That's shamanism. That's the occult. Well, all Satan's got to do is repackage it. And I even heard Christians getting sucked into this one. We got to listen to the Mayan prophecies. Man, I tell you what, they're so accurate that Hollywood made a movie out of it. Remember that one? 2012? Yeah.
Suicide adhered to the Mayan calendar, which predicts the end of time to occur on the 21st of December of this year. This year.
What are the odds?
You guys remember that? I mean, maybe it was just me, but man, it's burned in my brain. Back in 2012, when the world ended, man, that was that week. It took us a good month to buy another house, but we did get a good interest rate. You know what's sad is Hollywood does a great job of depicting some of these, you know, effects, but you know, some of these events are going to happen biblically, but we don't listen to these entities, the Mayans, because again, how they got their information is not from the scripture. Oh, by the way, they got it wrong. 2012, okay? But see, this is what people do. It's like, we got to listen to them. You know, I mean, they have the secret knowledge. It's like, well, listen, I say this all the time. Since when did the Bible not become good enough? Why do we have to go outside this book? Why can't you just stick with the book that never lies, demonstrates it came from God? He never tells us falsehood. And whether you like it, lump it, leave it or not, it's all for good. Just stick with the book. But no. I heard Christians back then. That's what 22. This could be the. Is this the rapture? This, would you stop listening to Mayan prophecies? And sure enough, anytime somebody sets a date, I don't care how, whatever, based on the Mayan calendar. No, but I got this secret code. I took a math class one time in college, and I got 8 calculators. And I found I've been staring at the Bible for 9 years. My eyes got blurry, and I had this vision. And God told me to tell you with this calculator that I figured out the end of the world. You need to repent. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. I don't care how many math degrees you got. I don't care who the person said. God told me to tell you. But this was the mindset. And people were confused. That's the 2012 Mayans and the rapture. And the whole year was the year of expectation. This could be. It's like, stop. Because one thing, any time that somebody sets a date for, they just guaranteed it's not going to happen on that date. We went through this, I don't know if you guys recall, in our other facility there, back in 2017, when those guys predicted the day of the rapture, about 6 months prior to that, because they set a date. And I'm doing interviews on, and man, the war was on. These people went ballistic. They even, if you remember that, they stalked the church, and they even found my house. Then they posted my address online of my house. And then they were doing selfies to intimidate me and my family in front of my house. And all this stuff, and all, it was crazy, okay? And that, I think, was for September 23rd or something. Well, guess what? Still here. And I'm just going to confess, as your pastor, do you know what my temptation was September 24th? Because I knew where these people live. Yeah, just left them in the hand of the God. So it's just crazy, folks. But that's what it is. It's right. But same thing with these Mayan prophecies. People got snookered into it. But guess what? You don't trust them, not only because they got it wrong. God never gets it wrong. You shouldn't even went down there in the first place if you do your research. Where do the Mayans get their supposed secret information with their calendar? And all this information that apparently is even more accurate than God's word from drugs. It's another form of shamanism. And that gets you connected with demons. Why would I listen to that? Right? And let me prove that to you. The Mayan prophecy 2020-12 was not only true. How many guys can verify that? Well, praise God. You guys must still be suffering from shock at the end of the world in 2012. And we made it a week. We got a new house. Anyway, it was not only not true, but it was nothing more than wild speculations over the Mayan calendar. The only thing that ended was the Mayan calendar system and the Mayan civilization. By the way, if you're so good at predicting the future, why didn't you predict your own demise? Their culture was not only full of occult practices, but barbaric ones. We saw this in our witchcraft study. The same thing with the Aztecs, the Mayans. Okay, these guys were butchers of people. They literally they cut themselves. They butchered people, slaughtered people because they believed with this human sacrifice, that's what they needed to do to appease the gods to keep the sun going. It was sick. But not only that, they were big into astrology, which God also condemns. But guess what? Shocker! They used hallucinogenic drugs to get their so-called visions, right? Another reason why we reject them. But here's the proof of that.
Throughout the history of humanity, every culture has made use of psychoactive substances, but arguably no civilization was better at it than the Mayans. The clever Mesoamericans were early settlers of the North American continent, and they knew a thing or two about getting stoned that is now lost to the sands of time. There are at least 54 hallucinogenic mushrooms in the genus psilocybe that are found in the southernmost region of North America, especially in Mexico. Mayans used them all to get stoned. Mayans called magic mushrooms flesh of the gods. They believed that the shrooms were the gift of the serpent god who created all life, bestowed upon them. Apart from psilocybe mushrooms, Mayans were also fond of Amanita muscaria, also known as the fly agaric, and fly amanita. Mayans also considered the urine of reindeer holy just because reindeer commonly consume fly amanita, and they loved to drink it for its psychoactive properties. Apart from mushrooms, peyote, morning glory seeds, and salvia divinorum were also important means to achieve another level of consciousness during sacred rituals.
Yeah, I mean, so it's obvious. This is why we need to listen to these Mayan prophecies over the Word of God, because, I mean, they had some serious inspiration from drugs. Crazy. And people are like, do you do research? Do you do anything? What? And I'm not joking. Did you guys recall? And maybe that's why you're so quiet, because you were one of them. I don't know. But the Christian community, they use drugs to get into an altered state of consciousness to connect with their dead ancestors, which is shamanism. That's why we don't listen to them. That's why God said the same thing. Don't you dare do this. Don't you turn from his word. What are you doing? Do not listen to your prophets. Why? Because what do they use? Divination. Or your interpreters of dreams, your mediums, your sorcerers. They what? They prophesy lies. Why do they lie? Because they're getting into a drug-induced state to connect with demons, and that's what demons do. They lie. But hey, if shamanic prophecies are just way too obvious, you know, the Hopi prophecies, and even this, you know, this Mayan, you made it past 2012 because you're here is the proof, right? And you didn't fall for that, but hey, don't worry. Satan's got another one repackaged out there to suck you up, even so-called Christians, and that's this guy. Nostradamus, whatever this guy's name is. Okay. Nostradamus, right? Oh, but and he is so accurate that he's still this day a bestseller in the New York Times list. I mean, who needs the Bible when you got this guy, right? But let's take a look at this.
Since the dawn of reason, self-proclaimed prophets have warned that the end of the world is approaching. While many have claimed to foresee what horrors lie ahead, no one has seen them more clearly than the world's most famous prophet, Nostradamus.
About two-thirds of the prophecies of Nostradamus have already come to fruition. That's why people keep looking to them for truth.
Nostradamus has successfully predicted countless historical events. The rise of Hitler and World War II. The assassination of John F. Kennedy. The atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But his most chilling predictions are those which have yet to come to pass.
Nostradamus has predicted earthquakes, famine, war, everything that can wipe out humanity.
We're living in an age where we will see the fulfillment of the remaining one-third of his prophecies.
Nostradamus saw all of these things happening, and this is what he wanted to warn us about, that we were heading down into a terrible time that could destroy the world.
See? We got to listen to this guy, man. I mean, he had some special insight that apparently not even, you know, the Bible has. And so we better investigate this. I mean, it's incredible how accurate he is. Really. First of all, let's deal with his so-called accuracy. I'm just going to give you one example. We've talked about this before. You tell me how accurate this really is. And I quote, this is going to be, he wrote them in four lines, they're called quatrains, right? And so this is, here's the prophecy. See if you can guess what it is. Because it's so obvious. It's so accurate. The year, 1999, 7 months. From the sky will come the great king of terror to resuscitate the great king of the Mongols before and after Mars reigns by good luck. At 45 degrees, the sky will burn fire to approach the great new city. In an instant, a great scattered flame will leap out when one will want to demand proof of the Normans. Those Norman people. It's obvious what he's talking about, right? And I quote, that's supposed to be Nostradamus predicting 9/11. What? And listen to what they say. A quote, well, 1999 is not too far off from 2001. Remember, God gets it right down to the detail every single time. And then the references to fire and terror sounds like an aerial attack. And New York City is close to a 45 degrees latitude. Actually, it's 40. It's completely wrong. But, of course, they don't tell you, okay, and who's this great king of the Mongols? Was that the Democrat mayor or something? You didn't fill in the blank on that one. Neither do they mention the great new city in the original French that Nostradamus was referring to was Villeneuve, which is the name of a town outside of Paris, which is a 45 degrees latitude. So it has nothing to do with New York. But he's more popular than ever. You know why? Because people are snookered. Satan repackages all this stuff. These guys got a word from God, and he knew, and he had the special insight. And as you heard the lady on the hysterical channel, I mean the historical channel, or the heretical channel is really what it should be called. Notice how they always on that channel denigrate the word of God, the biblical account, Jesus Christ, the resurrection, every year without fail. And what do they promote? All these so-called prophets that we need to listen to instead of this book. Do you think that's by chance? No stinking way. Right? People being led astray. Now, the other reason why we don't listen to him, because they're not just vague, they're demonic. Because here's how he got his so-called information. He was able to, quote, predict the future through a combination of astrology, which God condemns, and shocker, what did God say not to listen to? These prophets that we use what? Divination. He claimed that a, quote, angelic spirit helped him to understand how these forces would manifest themselves. That would be a demon. Because a holy angel from God is not going to lead you into divination. He used various forms of meditation, focusing in on fire or water, which is called scrying. We saw that back in witchcraft, right? And he also was under, here it is, shocker, the use of hallucinogenic drugs. Anybody starting to see a pattern here? Yeah, but watch this.
He would fill a basin, a copper basin, with water. And he would put in black ink so that the water was completely black. He would then imbibe or eat copious amounts of nutmeg, which is slightly hallucinatory. They have that capacity. And he would look into the water with a cloth over his head so that he was completely subsumed in what was happening. There would be hazel twigs over the water, which he would hold. Hazel was something the Romans felt would conduct good thoughts and potentially had alchemical qualities. And he would then stare in the water, and he would then call this out to his secretary, who would immediately write it down. And then he transposed that into quatrains of four lines each that would rhyme. I think he felt that was more amenable to people. They would pay more attention if they rhymed. And that's how he would do. He would have to be in the right mood, but he would set himself that, and he would. I think the nutmeg is interesting. I wouldn't want to eat those.
Yeah, me neither. Or use hazel twigs and occult techniques and hazel twigs, trees, branches. Remember we saw this before? In witchcraft, there's a certain wood that they use, and one of the wood that they use specifically to mesmerize people was from the holly tree. Nothing's by chance out there, folks. Interesting. Hollywood's still being used to mesmerize people, including to lead people astray into this stuff. But this is why God says don't listen to this guy. I mean, again, why would you even be tempted with this? Everything we need, past, present, future, it's all right here. If you stick with this book, it's completely spot on, accurate, every single time, 100% of the time. Why would you even be tempted to go somewhere else? But people do. They listen to this guy. It's crazy. He's more popular than ever. Okay, and people go to that instead of the Bible. And this is why God says, what in the world are you doing? Stop it. Knock it off. Especially if you say that you belong to God. Stop it. Stop listening to what? Your prophets. You want to know the future? It's right here. Your diviners. They use divination. Your interpreters of dreams, your mediums, your sorcerers. Stop it. Why? Because they prophesy lies to you. Right? Shocker. But hey, that's right. If shamanic prophecies, Hopi prophecies, Mayan prophecies, and nose-haired dummies still sounds way too occultish to you because you caught on. The whole technique is they use drugs. Then guess what? Satan has actually repackaged this for the church with, wait for it, shocker, the charismatic movement and the charismatic prophecies. That's right, because only they can get a word from God. Only they have the spiritual ability that because God told them to tell you to tell me about them and team and they and that and the blah, blah, blah. I had a vision dream. God just said, he spoke to my toenail and he gave me a word of God. And I was in this trance-like state and God gave me a vision. I sang this song for 45 hours nonstop. I spoke in this gibberish. And people in the church are listening to these hucksters instead of the word of God. It's crazy. Modern day prophets. Oh, by the way, you know why I don't listen to these guys? None of them. Because the Bible's clear. There are no modern day prophets. I didn't say it. God did. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. How do you get past this? In the past, yeah, before the Bible was written, Old and New Testament, God what? He spoke to our ancestors through prophets. Why? Because that's the only vehicle they had at that time. And it wasn't written down. At many times in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us through who? His son. Who's that? Jesus. Where are the words of Jesus written down for us? Right here. So that's it. It's over. I got it. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to be fooled anymore. All right? I got everything I need. God, it's almost like he had a plan to make sure I wouldn't be led astray. What a God he is, right? And so if you need a so-called word from God, what do? Read the Bible. Right? If you want to hear a word from God, read the Bible out loud. It's a neat concept. Try it. It works 100% of the time. That's why I don't listen to these guys. A prophet so-and-so told me he came to town and prophetized and got a word from God. Run. Or what would God say? Stop listening to these people. Right? And again, just like the Jeremiah text, especially in the church context, it's always good, man. This is going to be your year, man. You're going to have a breakthrough. Financially successful, man. Good things are coming. You liar. Plus, they prove themselves false prophets. There are no modern day prophets anyway, but even if there were, these guys are all hucksters. In fact, God's got some real strong words against these people. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12 and 20 through 22. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Well, what were they doing? Well, here you go. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, which would be modern day abortion today, who practices what? Divination, sorcery. Right? Or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who's a medium or spirits, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. So again, just like he used, God doesn't play favorites. Whoever gets out of line is going to get it sooner or later, unless you repent and get right with God. He used Nebuchadnezzar as a spanking rod for Israel. These nations who got out of line, what did God use? He used Israel as a spanking rod. But when Israel got out of line, what did he do? He did the same thing to them, right? So, but keep reading though. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name, God says, anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods must be what? Put to death. What? Hey, we're just quoting Bible. Well, that's a serious thing, the death penalty, so you better get it right. You're right. So you might say, well, how can we know when this message from this prophet has not been really from spoken by the Lord? It's obvious. If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. Why? Because God is holy. He doesn't sin. He doesn't lie. He is the truth. He never gets it wrong. So it's easy. You get it wrong. You say, I'm a prophet of God, and you get it wrong. According to the old covenant, you're going to be rocked to sleep. These guys should be very glad that we're not under the old covenant. God takes this seriously. How dare you sit there and say, this is what God says, and you lied. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. Yeah, but they told me, touch not thine anointed. You can't speak against God. Don't call people out by name. What Bible are you reading? Paul called out Philetus, Hymenaeus, Alexander. John called out Diotrephes. And Jesus ripped into the Pharisees with exclamation points. You brood of vipers. In public, Matthew 23. What do you mean you don't call them by? These guys' names are still in there for 2,000 years by name. Why? So you can know who to avoid. They're shipwrecking people's souls, the scripture talks about. It's a danger. But these guys still do it. And they've proven there are no modern-day prophets. We don't need that. We got a sure word right here. Right? I don't need to listen to somebody else. I got everything I need right there. Stick with it. You'll be fine. Stop listening to these prophets. But these guys, again, they've proven that they're false prophets. You shouldn't go to them anyway. But they demonstrate they get it wrong all the time. And the church just keeps giving them free pass. And they keep tuning into their shows and buying their books and go to their seminars. And it's like, what? Here's the first one. His name is Pat Robertson. Right? See how well he does. Let's take a look.
He's going to have a second term. He's going to win. Romney will win the election.
You believe that?
I absolutely believe
that. What makes you believe that?
Because the Lord told me.
Well, that's why I'm glad to know. I wasn't sure how you knew. Really, the Lord said that to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I told Mitt a long time ago. I called him. I said, listen, I've been in prayer. Number one, you're going to win the nomination. Number two, you're going to win the general election. He said, well, what can I do for you? I said, well, give me a seat on the platform.
First of all, I want to say without question, Trump is going to win the election. And that doesn't mean you sit home and don't vote. That means you get out and do everything you can to work. But he's going to win.
He was talking about the second term. How's that working out for you, pal? You know what, everybody that watched the, first of all, how'd you make it past the Romney days? And you're still watching the show? You're still sending money to this guy? What should have done? These guys would go belly up if Christians would do what God says. Stop it! Stop listening to this stuff. They're liars. There are no modern day prophets. And you know it because they get it wrong all the time. Oh, but in case that guy doesn't get you, Satan's got another cohort out there. His name is Benny Hinn. He gets it wrong all the time. He's been doing this for years. It's like, how is this guy still in business? It's not because, you know what? He tells people what they want to hear. Watch this.
Today we'll look at six failed prophecies that Benny Hinn said would happen in the 1990s. And if you are a Benny Hinn fan, please realize that he is someone the Bible says to avoid.
The Spirit of God tells me an earthquake will hit the east coast of America and destroy much in the 90s. Not one place will be safe from earthquakes in the 90s. These who have not known earthquakes will know it. People, I feel the Spirit all over me. The economy of the United States of America is going to fall. Many businesses will go bankrupt. The Spirit tells me Fidel Castro will die in the 90s. Oh, my. The Spirit tells me that the church, once raptured, following the rapture, a woman president will be in the White House. And that woman president will destroy this nation. But my church will be gone. My saints will be home. A world dictator is coming on the scene. He's a short man. He's a short man. I see a short man who's the perfect incarnation of Satan. The Lord also tells me to tell you in the mid-90s, about 94, 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community of America. But he will not destroy it with what many minds have thought him to be. He will destroy it with fire.
That's called six strikes, you're out. Gotta be kidding me. How's this guy still doing it? You know why? Because people want what he is saying instead of the word of God, just like Jeremiah's day. It's sad, sad, sad. You claim to be God. And you wonder why the world laughs and mocks. They see this stuff too. But you'll say, well, okay, well, maybe he got it wrong a few times. A few? We can be here all day. I just gave you six of them, just in the 90s. Well, at least he's not using drugs like Nosherdamus and the Hopis, you know, and all the Mayans. All. Really? You guys remember this video? This might mess with your mind a little bit.
Tonight, the Ministry of Benny Hinn responds to an iFiles investigation which revealed two heroin-related deaths within his ministry.
After returning from California this week, Hinn spoke to his employees about the public revelations. He also sent someone to talk to our Tony Pipitone.
Benny Hinn had agreed to talk to us in person about his church, but canceled after seeing our report last week. Instead, he sent a spokesman who says Hinn is upset about that report, a report on the role of heroin in the deaths of two employees.
Those employees was David Delgado, one of Benny Hinn's personal assistants, the man helping Hinn into his jacket before a crusade appearance last year. This is video from last December on what would be his last trip with Pastor Hinn. At the time, an Orange County homicide investigator was looking to question Delgado about the source of heroin that just weeks earlier had killed another employee of World Outreach Church, a man Hinn had trusted to babysit his children years ago. But the questioning never happened, because by the end of 1997, Delgado too was dead, a result of heroin abuse.
You know what's sad? That was a secular news broadcast. It got shuffled under the rug. What else is going on? Where are you getting your inspiration from? The world is much more quick to call these guys out on the carpet, and they're not even Christians, than Christians. They keep giving these guys a free pass. They should go belly up. They should be completely boycotted. Nobody should ever tune into their broadcast. Don't buy anything from them. Certainly don't support them. Are you kidding me? And they would go away. But the church doesn't do it. And I'm talking in mass, the American church. Why? Because they want what they want. They have to sell. They sell greed. Show seed to my ministry, and you've been and God's going to give you a hundredfold. You're going to drive a car. You're going to wear cool jackets like Pastor Billy. You're going to do all this. What? That's what they want to hear. These techniques from God, so I can be financially successful, build a better you, and more self-esteem. It's yuck. But now it's going on for so long. I remember dealing with Finney Venn back in Bible college and when I got saved in the early 90s when he's doing all these false prophecies. And even back then, we were like, in the 90s, we were like, how is this guy still doing it? Well, fast forward to today, he's still doing it. Right? It's like, how does that, listen, it's bad enough that these guys keep getting away with it. But now, because the church is not doing what God says to do, I'm not saying the death penalty, but we should stop supporting them, listening to them, doing whatever. And dare I say, we need to call them out by name. And that is biblical. I just quoted to you the biblical passages of names being called out. Because I get flack all the time. You should never. Okay, I know that was wrong, but you shouldn't call out. You know, that's between them and God. No, read the scripture. Because how does it help somebody, right? How does it, a shepherd not only teaches the flock, loves the flock, cares for the flock, but you warn the flock to protect the flock, right? That's why you carry the staff. Because it looks cool. Or if your sermon's really long, you got something to grab them by the neck. No, the staff was meant to bonk against either the sheep getting out of line, by the way, discipline, or to protect them from invaders that would come, wolves that would seek them harm. So you have a weapon, right? And so it's just, the shepherd's supposed to protect the sheep. So how's it protecting the sheep? And you go, hey guys, there's a guy out there, and he's a false prophet. I'm just going to tell you straight up, man. He's saying all kinds of things wrong, and whatever you do, don't you dare listen to this guy. And because he's really wrong, and I'm just telling you right now, just don't buy his book, don't go to the seminar, don't do nothing. Just listen, I'm telling you, he's out there, so just don't do it. Thanks, Pastor. Who? How does that help? You call him out by name. Philetus is teaching and leading people astray. Hymenaeus, Alexander, shipwrecking the souls of people. Diotrephes, stay away from that guy. Oh, don't you dare be like a Pharisee. Isn't that much more practical?
Absolutely.
Hello? The same hucksters who are leading people astray have convinced people to keep your mouth shut. Because after all, they're the spiritual ones. But now it's gone on so long, now we have a whole new generation of these false prophets when there are no modern day prophets. And they are telling people what they want to hear. Including, again, the last election. They all said Trump was going to win. Watch this baloney.
Because I am speaking from the future.
Yes, you are.
This moment.
Right this moment.
And I am going to proclaim that yes. President Trump will be president of the United States.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Will it be an 8-year presidency?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we will.
You're sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure about that.
And it's all leading up to what's coming up in January 20th. And so I've said this many times before, but please reserve throwing your stones at me until January 20th.
The Associated Press said that Joe Biden is president. Ha! 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 Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to be president. Mickey Mouse is going to be king. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And strike 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 until you have victory. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. The Lord says it is done.
Say what?
The Lord says it is done.
One more time.
The Lord says it is done.
Yeah, yeah.
For I hear victory, 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 victory in the corners of heaven. In the corners of heaven.
Did she say in the corners of heaven or the quarters of heaven? Does heaven have corners? Quarters of heaven? Do people use quarters? We'll stay at your quarters tonight. Anyway, sorry.
Angels are being dispatched right now. Amanda, Aka, Ata, Raka, Teda, Baka, Sanda, Ata, Ambo, Osa, Kata, Rite, Eke, Banda.
Is she naming the angels? Is this like Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Rudolph? Like what is happening? Is she summoning the different names of these? Is these the names? I never saw these names in the Bible. How you know the names of these angels, Paula? What's their names again? Hold on. That's some Latin names. Rique, the angel named Rique out there. I bet Rique is a cold-blooded Spanish-speaking angel, ain't he?
The angels have even been dispatched from Africa right now. Africa right now. Africa right now. From Africa right now. They're coming here. They're coming here. In the name of Jesus, from South America, they're coming here. They're coming here.
Okay, this is... I can't. This is ridiculous. Listen. Rique, Aka, Taka, Tacos. Some interesting things here. One, apparently she is prophesying for a presidential win. If that prophecy doesn't come true, according to Deuteronomy, they can bring the stones out. So I just be careful with the prophecies.
Not just be careful, you need to knock it off and shut that off. Don't you dare send another dime that way, not even a penny. There are no modern-day prophets. You want to get a word from God? Right here. Don't go anywhere else. We don't need anything else. All these guys are going to lead you astray. There are no modern-day prophets. And these guys, even if there were, and they're not, but even if they were, they demonstrated they're false prophets. And that's why God gives us direct commands. What do you do? Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded to say, or a prophet who speaks the name of other gods must be put to death. Again, these guys better be glad we're not under the old covenant. But shut them off. That's it. It's over. You may say to yourself, well, how do we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? It's obvious, because if what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not come to take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. Why? Because God never gets it wrong. He doesn't lie. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. Even though they say, touch not thine eyeless. God told me to tell. Don't be afraid of him. You shut him off. And Jeremiah would say the thing. Knock it off. Stop listening to these guys. I know it's what you want to hear. But guess what? Scripture is clear. It's going to get worse before it gets better. God tells us that because he loves us. And he wants us to be prepared instead of left in the dark. Don't listen to these prophets, your diviners, your interpreters of dreams, your mediums, your sorcerers. They what? They prophesy lies to you. Why? Because they use demonic techniques to get them connected with demons. And dare I say, as we saw in our voodoo study, and we're seeing repeated again with repackaged shamanism, much of the charismatic practices where they start to prophesy and speak in this gibberish stuff is also getting them into an altered state of consciousness as well. There's a common thread through it all, folks. And that's why God says, stop it. Don't do it. Shut it off. But hey, that's right. If Satan can't fool you with demons and repackaging shamanic practices like marijuana and stuff, and if he can't fool you with the shamanic healing rooms like Bethel and stuff, and if he can't get you to seek out false prophets, you know, then you know what? He's going to get you to do the next one that Jeremiah warned about, and that is shamanic interpreters of dreams. Because nobody in the church is saying stuff like this. Hey, I had a dream. God gave me a dream to tell you to... It just goes on and on and on. This one lady said, God gave me a dream, and it was all about Will Smith. It's like, no, you had a dream about Will Smith because you keep watching the stupid stuff on the media, and it affects your dreams. It had nothing to do with God. But we'll get to that, Lord willing, next time. Let's pray. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved.
Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly, and please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.